We're here today to talk to you about enterprise mobility, and we're going to try to keep it pretty interactive and fun. You know, the room's not full, so we got plenty of room for questions. One thing we were reminded is half our audience is here and half of it's listening on the internet. So if you have a big question, you're going to use a mic at the center of the room, and if it's kind of small, just stay there. We'll repeat it back for everybody before we answer. And so let's just make this fun. Our goal today is to make sure you walk away with a little bit more power in your arsenal to integrate mobility into your enterprise, whatever it is, whatever your enterprise is. And we're going to walk through kind of the total framework, kind of the evolution of mobile and some great case studies, how people are using things. So let's get going. Let's get rocking and rolling. Chris Mankel.
Okay. I'm Chris Mankel. I'm a CTO with Xerox. This is probably a dumb question, but I'll ask, how many of you know what Xerox does? When you think of Xerox, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Computers.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good
job.
So
everybody, round of applause.
I'll give you a few little data points that you may not know. 3 years ago,
huh?
Yeah. 3 years ago, Xerox purchased ACS in Dallas. ACS has now become Xerox Services. Here are a few things where between Xerox and ACS, we touch the lives somewhere in America every day. So 100 million public transportation passengers utilize one of our services every day. 5 million highway commuters utilize one of our services every day. 35 million people receiving Medicaid benefits utilize one of our services every day. 4 million people using debit cards, electronic payment cards, utilize our services every day. This is probably stuff that doesn't come to the forefront of your mind. I'm a CTO in Xerox. I'm focusing on how we bring services to the public sector. I also am a VP of innovation, so driving how we look at new opportunities together, which is why Eric and I are up here discussing how the creative world of mobility and the, I call it the stale, tried and true, always there IT enterprise world come together.
Nicely done. So did you guys, was that a new face to Xerox for you guys? A little bit, you know, so that's actually a big thing, Xerox going into kind of IT services, end user computing, all that stuff. So you guys will see them in a big way. So my name's Eric McMillan. I'm CEO of Best Fit Mobile, actually a local company. ACS is headquarters out of Dallas. So we build enterprise mobility as well as consumer mobility solutions for a wide range of clients. We drive millions and millions of dollars in ROI for companies every week with mobility. So Xerox is partnering up with Best Fit to connect the world with enterprise mobility. Chris kind of mentioned that typically technology inside of an enterprise, whether it's retail, healthcare, oil and gas, education, whatever it is, IT, the office of the CIO, is there to support the organization. It's servers, it's computers, it's keeping the mainframes working, it's all the stuff of keeping the core architecture of your enterprise functioning. It has been much less innovation, and the office of the CMO has been a lot more about innovation, driving interactive media, how do we drive sales, how do we drive ROI. So we wanted to pause for a second and get a little interactive with you and say, hey, we're here at South by Southwest, interactive, having a great time. And I wanted to learn a little bit about you guys. So a show of hands is simple enough to start on a few questions. How many of you guys are in the office of the CIO working on enterprise IT solutions? Okay, so about 25-30%. How about the office of the CMO and the marketing side? All right, so about 30%. We got 40% left.
How many are just curious?
Just curious. Okay, nice. Well, how many people are most interested in then driving mobility solutions for end consumers? Okay, so driving end consumer usage of mobile technology, And then, so the enterprise, so actually handing mobile tools to your employees, to your partners, to your vendors, helping push, you know, ROI and so on the enterprise side. All right, so we got about half and half, which is to be expected. So you guys, go ahead, Chris.
How many of you are Apple biased, leaning towards Apple, not biased? Android? Microsoft? RIM? Symbian? Europe, it's huge.
All right.
Okay, just curious.
All right, well, then let's rock and roll. And we'll take you through the world of mobile. Some really cool stuff that's going out there right now, some quick case studies that you guys will be seeing a lot more of. We're going to spend some time on some cool stuff that's happening. One is in retail and geofencing. So this is one quick example. You guys don't bother reading the bullet points. But mobility in retail is huge, both on the enterprise side and on the consumer side. Geofencing. How many of you guys are familiar with the term geofencing or proximity? So the ability to know if one of your customers that has your mobile app or is in your SMS program, where they are if they've walked into a specific geofence. The ability to set fences around your retail establishments, your customer establishments, anywhere where you want to know somebody's walked into a specific map zone with their mobile phone. And with that knowledge, you can trigger specific business requirements to happen or communications to that person. In the retail example, it's, I walked into a store. What kind of coupon, you know, should I be using right now? Push it to me. What deals should I know about? You know, you want to do several things inside of the retail establishment. You want to get people to come into the store. You want people to increase their basket size so they spend more money. And you can do that with mobile very efficiently using geofencing and simple mobile app technology.
How many of you have seen the new PSP commercial where they're going around different locations and it's interacting with them? That's a form of geofencing. So when you come to a particular location, then that triggers a particular portion of your game to be played. So it's not just for retail. This is gonna explode into taking gaming into another level to where you're going to interact with your environment for video games. So this is one where it's crossing all sorts of boundaries to where GPS, marketing, sales, you name it, is all going to be tied together.
Yeah, but we'll show you some examples in healthcare and several other things along the way.
How does privacy come into the picture?
Privacy is always an issue. So from a privacy perspective, you always have to look at it from what do you want your user of your geofence app to do. Is it just getting an ad? Is it just getting a message? Or do you want them to interact with your application in a particular manner? So you do have to factor in how that user, whether it's an internal user or a customer, interact with that app within that geofenced area.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about security quite a bit as the core, you know, of an enterprise, any kind of enterprise solution, security being extremely important. So we'll get a little bit more to that. But geofencing, the big things around geofencing on the consumer side, you hear, you know, Facebook's listening to our text messages, or, you know, we see all this stuff kind of coming out. Knowing where your customer is, you have to be really sensitive with that information. So here's my 20 million mobile users. I know where they are at all times. You want to put geofences only around places your customers would want you to know where they were. So at your store, at your office place, at your partners. That way you don't listen to them all the time. You're focusing on only things that make that information very relevant for that customer or that employee or that partner. So if you stay true to what you tell people you're going to do and you focus your communication and your business requirements around specific geolocations that your customers know you're doing, you avoid a lot of privacy concerns.
Key is opting in. Your clients have to have the ability to opt in or opt out of what information you're viewing or is being shared. This model, Twilio Content, if you really look at it, human beings are social creatures. We like texting, we like emailing, but we also like talking. So when you look at creating mobility around any application you have, you want to have in there the embedded ability to verbally communicate and not have to rely on that user's voice plan to do it. You want to have the ability to offer the audio interaction through IP, basically through the internet, not have them use their voice minutes. That's a key point you also want to keep in in mind when you're looking at mobilizing any application at all that's going to drive any type of interaction.
Embedded mobile device connectivity. One of the biggest thing that's going to start coming out is controlling all the devices around you, whether it's in your home, if it's a coffee maker, it's your thermostat, your sprinkler system, it's your refrigerator, it's your oven. On the manufacturing floor, it's the arm of the... it's the arm of the equipment. You know, you don't walk across the room to reset it. Use your iPad or your iPhone or your Android device to control the devices around you. This year, 2012, 2013, almost every single device you're going to start buying is going to say, hey, control with your mobile device, control with you. You've seen the, remote control for your garage or start your car or anything you can imagine. We're working to mobilize it via mobile remote control.
iPads for all. So if you look at last year, there were roughly 28 million tablets sold in the United States, of which 19 million were iPads. Tablets are here. It's a form factor. It's here to stay. The laptop is fading. It's just a new means, a medium that everybody has to work with. So it's one to factor in. It's actually, they've hit the magic size between it's big enough for us to interact with, but small enough to carry around. The other key thing that is key with a tablet is your data is in the network somewhere. Most of it you're not carrying with you. So if you do lose the device, you're not out information, personal or business-wise. It's stored somewhere in the cloud. This is the key thing. This is a shift. This is one of the... It's an interesting point in the industry where you've had technology line up with communications, line up with software, line up with the consulting field to where it's all there and it's ready to do it. This doesn't happen very many times in history, and it's a unique point right now where you have everything coming together to drive mobility.
How many of your companies has handed out iPads? All right. Has it been focused on sales reps, field service reps, account managers? Just give me the how many sales reps iPads. Okay. How about in the field? Okay. What's an average number of iPads that your company's handed out in the last year?
Number. I don't know. For my company personally, we have probably
150 iPads. Anyone higher? 300 iPads. All right. So we're consistently rolling out anywhere from 500 iPads to 20,000 iPads across enterprises. United Airlines, 10,000 iPads. Fidelity, 15,000 iPads. How do you control that? How do you manage that? There's security issues. People are bringing their own devices along with the ones you're handing to your employees. How do you manage all that? And we'll get into that in a minute. But the main point is, all of your companies are going to be handing you iPads. They roll them out at 300 first, and then 1,000, and then 15,000, and then everybody's going to have an iPad. Here in Austin, Eanes School District, Westlake High School handed out iPads to every single high school student. So pretty soon they're going to start handing them K through 12. So a little bit of statistic you guys are probably already aware of. This is not a fad. Apple's iPhone business is bigger than all of Microsoft. Chris, you got a few more statistics you want to share?
Around 76% of all phone purchases this year will be smartphone. If you take a look at Apple, roughly represents 24% of the phone market. Google, Android's another 46% of the market. So if you take a look, the market is shifting. The reason being the smartphones allow you, it's your portable computer. It's with you all the time. It allows you to do things that you could never really do before. Another interesting tidbit, if you were to take the phone out of the Apple 4S, sell it on its own, it'd be a $500 digital camera.
The camera, if you took the camera out of the phone.
Yeah, if you took the camera out of the phone. So these are all-encompassing devices which are providing options to businesses to do what they want with it. You know, you can, if you're a claims adjuster, you can take a very accurate photo. You can take a very accurate video of a claim scene, tie it into your claims app, and send it back and submit it right there on the spot. That's why we're just kind of showing this. These are key. The devices are one of the key metrics that are changing, that are enabling us to do what we need to do.
This year, one more last statistic. I mean, this year, if you hadn't read, phones are going to, you know, smartphones surpass laptops and desktops combined. So more people have smartphones than laptops and desktops. So we just talked about iPads, and we're rolling out, you know, hundreds of thousands of iPads into enterprises with different apps, different custom apps we build, different apps that are already out there that drive ROI. Here are the three main things we think enterprises need to focus on. Mobile device management, the tools, how do you manage the devices in the field. Then there's the applications management. So you've got the tools in the field, you have the tablets in the field, what apps are going on them, you know, what apps out of the app store are secure enough that drive ROI for your specific vertical. How do you decide what apps go onto the devices? Then there's custom application development. And what do you develop to put onto your apps? So starting with mobile application management, you see all these apps. There's 500,000 apps in the iPhone store and growing, over a billion. I think, what did we hit, 2 billion downloads? I mean, it's growing so fast. So we need to look at ROI inside of the enterprise. You've got the iPads. It's not just about Angry Birds and email. You know, this is a plus one device. You guys familiar with that terminology? You know, we've got laptops, we've got your cell phone, and we've got your iPad.
Plus one.
So it's not replacing anything. It's an addition. So you're going to give them an easier way to read their email and play Angry Birds, or you're going to put really business-ready applications onto there. A quick example with a recent client, it's, you know, we want to give them an app library. So if you're rolling out your applications and doing your device management, then what applications go on this? You give them an app library with different use cases. So, you know, business apps, productivity apps, Word document apps, et cetera. And you give them this suite of services with a kind of an app kind of user guide along with it. So when they get their iPads or their tablet, it comes ready with applications in specific folders driving different business value, so they get value out of it right away. So what apps should you use and why? Next, the devices.
So mobile device management. This is what comes into here. Is it BYOD? Are you allowing everybody to bring their own device, or are you providing the devices for them? I see BYOD. We see BYOD being the way where everything's going to go. You can't stop it. I mean, if you just look at the sheer volume of smartphones and iPads that are being sold, and even the Android tablets, you can't stop it. So a smarter play becomes have the right device management on it, which means you lock down what they're allowed to use. So if you go back to the geofencing, you're using one of your enterprise apps, you shut down all the ports. You can't share data, you can't do this. If it's lost, you can wipe it clean. If it can only communicate for that period of time that you're initiating the transaction that you're wanting to have them initiate, either doing a point of sale, doing a query. Mobile device management is key to prevent you from ending up on the front page of the newspaper. You don't want to be Sony explaining how everybody got hacked. You don't want to go down the line. So when you're looking at it, you can manage BYOD. You can manage a plethora of devices as long as you know I can manage what happens to the device when it's lost, what happens to my data that's on it. And that's how you really want to look at it that way. What are you allowed to do, when you're allowed to do it, and how long is it allowed? The way to think about it, think about your ATM card. You go up to the ATM machine. The card has an embedded number in it, private. You have a public number you add to it. So you're enabling that transaction from the ATM machine to your bank to perform that specific transaction. When it's done, you pull the card out and everything's freed up. Think of mobile device management in the same way. You want to allow a secure transaction to happen for that point of time, then you're done and it goes back to everything doing what it was before. I'm just trying to give you an analogy of how you need to really look at it from a mobile device management perspective.
Out of the iPads or mobile devices you guys have in your enterprises, how many of you have a MDM solution rolled out? What tool are you using?
They're rolling it out right now.
Mobile Iron?
Mobile Iron? We're using Mobile Iron for a lot of things. We're using several different tools. It's an amazingly fast-moving space. Especially with Apple, trying to deal with Apple products. It's amazing how many rollouts we do with the slide before and the slide after. You'll see this. A lot of people are, just now thinking about, well, we got all these devices. We got, you know, 20,000 different devices, iPhones, iPads, Androids, you know, Blackberries, Windows. How do we manage all these? So mobile device management is key. It's amazing how many clients don't think, well, what should we put on that? We're going to hand them out. It's like, why are you handing them out? Why are you handing out a plus one cost device if you don't know what's going on it? So it's sexy to hand them out. I think that's a big reason people are handing them out right now. But on top of that sexiness factor, there's the applications you can preload on them, and then there's the custom applications that you can build. Every enterprise has a suite of hundreds, if not thousands of... Is that me or... Shaken. Sorry, guys. Hundreds, if not thousands, of enterprise software applications that are, you know, on the mainframe or are web-based applications or whatever apps they are. You need to make whatever apps necessary available to that mobile screen. So you're handing out those iPads, you need to figure out what apps in the store should be provisioned for them. You need to figure out what apps you should be building and have a strategy for all that. And you should think about it together. Typically, it's different departments that say, you know, we're going to buy the iPads and we're going to send them out to everybody. And they don't talk to the department that says, well, what apps are we going to put on them and all that. So this is, just think, we're handing out these iPads. What should go on them? Should we build anything custom for them? Should we provision things that are already existing, et cetera? A couple quick facts that are interesting. In order to roll out 10,000 iPads, the acquisition cost, you know, you're talking about, you know, $6 to $10 million in hardware plus applications, $1 million a year in support, application purchases, you know, end user kind of computing and support of those iPads and or tablets. So you're talking about, you know, a pretty hefty little investment up front. If you don't, if that's just a plus one cost and they have their iPad, they're using their laptop and they're playing with their iPad, it's very worthless. But for custom applications, when you can put ROI driving applications, you should be spending, you know, $1 million to $2 million a year just inventing ROI opportunities for your employees inside of your organizations to get value out of the devices. Hopefully that'll kind of help you take back a little bit of, you know, we need to invest into what we're putting on these things and not just roll them out.
Security. It's you have to add to it. So here's the way you need to look at it. If you have antivirus, anti-spam, all that on your laptop, why would you not lock down your tablet? Why would you not lock down your smartphone? Android right now is the number one hacking OS, period. It's a dream. Why? Because most people don't think about locking it down. So you have to think about it first. So it also goes with MDM. You got to view it. You have to lock it down. This is going to be the number one way for anybody to get into your enterprise apps, to get into your personal data, to get into your phone book, to get into your address book. It's how they're going to get in. These are multiple points that are coming in, and you have to look at it that way. And it's everywhere. You have to look at it holistically from end to end, from the mobile device to the communications to the application to the back end in your environment.
All right. So we're moving into some examples of some different industries and some different case studies that we're working on. We want to make sure to share with you to get some just juices flowing, ideas going for how you can roll different things out for your enterprise. Let's talk a little bit about retail. Inside of retail, you've got merchandising systems, you've got point of sale systems, you've got all the support systems inside of a retail environment to enable a mobile consumer strategy. And need to not only work with all the existing systems and your point of sale, which is very complex. Every single retailer has different back-end system integrations to deal with. You've got to roll it out into the cloud. You've got to build web services. You've got to figure out how to drive the data you have in your enterprise systems to mobile while being secure, so it can be curated, so you can figure all this stuff out. So in this little quick case study, being able to hook into the cloud, do system integrations into the cloud, and open up a web service API, we've been able to drive over 1 million mobile customers for this brand with tens of millions of dollars in mobile ROI trackable every week. So this is a really kind of cool case study where you can take a retailer, you can go mobile on the consumer side, you can tie all the back-end systems together securely, you know, looking at back behind the firewall, private cloud, public cloud enablements.
Like, what do you count as a mobile
So
beginning to end.
So mobility has this. In the beginning, it was mobile was going to drive billions of dollars in sales directly through the mobile device, right? People are going to buy stuff on their phone. It's happening. I mean, eBay, PayPal, mobile payments, you know, directly through kind of an e-commerce mobile channel. When we're talking retail, we want to drive foot traffic into the store. We want to. So when we talk about 1 million mobile customers within 6 months, we're talking about being able to communicate with them deals, specials in their area. Instead of, you know, so a couple quick facts, $120 million to $300 million a year with any big retailer is spent on newspaper circulars, right? So all of us kind of know that newspapers probably aren't going to be around in 5 years. So, and it's mass marketing. You can't track it very well. So being able to capture those guys in a mobile environment and send a message directly to them about a special at their store a few miles from them, being able to track them via geofence when they walk into that store, and then being able to scan the mobile coupon that they were sent mobily on the point of sale and tracking that whole circle back, that's talking about all the system integrations and being able to track all that. We'll have another slide on that in a minute, but that's what I mean. So it's end-to-end, initially getting the message via mobile, and then transacting the coupon via mobile. And then we're getting very close to actually having the payment method be via mobile as well. That's mobile payments, which is the next step in the circle. Chris, you want to take this one?
So this, if you look at this, is an example of an enterprise play just to make Lowe's more efficient. So you give the employees a smartphone, so they're able to go around and make sure their foot traffic is that much more efficient in their store to get the point of sale. It's speeding up the sale. It's getting them in, getting them out. I mean, you go look, you could tie this also to the Apple store. You go into the Apple store, they're using their
touches.
The touches for the point of sale. Lowe's is doing the same thing. So what we're doing here, I'm going to ask Wes to go back out to the Zoom of the tablet, because I think there's a couple things that I want to show you what we're going through here. On the right side, you know, we went through kind of giving you some scenarios of what's going on in technology. In the middle, we said, you know, mobile application management, device management, application. We're giving you some scenarios of what you got to look at. What we're going to now are some business cases. I just want to take a step back and kind of show you what we're going through. We're purposely taking down a path of showing you examples so you get an idea. It's just not Chris and Eric up here talking. We're giving you here the technologies to look at, here the approaches, here some live examples, and then we'll end up going into here some questions. I just kind of wanted to take a step back and reset that.
Okay. Go back a couple west to the make sure I don't miss my
phone. How many of you seen Prezi before?
There we go.
Like it? Isn't it better than Death by PowerPoint?
It's a little cooler. So, everyone's been in an Apple store and bought something in the Apple store, right? So, there's no line. There's no real, you know, register. They check you out where you are. So, Lowe's is rolling out that same thing. They're trying to make their employees as smart as their customers. So, you know, people aren't scanning it at Lowe's and going to buy it at Home Depot. It's like, hey, catch them. And, you know, so retail point-of-sale solutions, Lowe's are all the exact same thing as the Apple Store. We resell the exact same. It's just a harness. You plug the iPhone or the iTouch or the iPad into a harness that allows 2D barcode scanning and swiping, and you integrate, you know, point-of-sale technology straight onto the mobile device. So it's the mobile point of sale solution. Inside of an Apple store, they also have shelves, and you can pick stuff up. And, you know, so they go into the back to get the expensive stuff, and then there's all kinds of $30 to $50 stuff you can buy. It's a very similar concept. You still have to get to the front of the store, and you have to still go through a security process. And they're making it better and better and better. But the idea is, why wait in a line? If a customer's here, you're helping them out, you can do a price check them out, you know, email them their receipt and let them go out the door and show their receipt. Versus, you know, standing in a line and wasting time doing that, you know. So, and it's evolving to get more and more impressive.
They still have to provide some sort of a sticker or a receipt to show that you proof of purchase to get out the front door.
Same process.
Yeah, same type of model. It's just, but it's showing you each end of the spectrum. of how that model is usable.
All right. We're got about 30 minutes left, so we're going to start going through and making sure we're making it through everything for you guys. Education. Any of you guys in education? All right. So we're rolling out some pretty serious tablet solutions and LMS solutions via mobile. Self-paced learning. We're working with some pretty big clients to kind of overhaul education. We're working with everywhere from South Africa to major school districts to college institutions. So mobility inside of education is going to change the face of education textbooks. And we're going to be available after this to ask questions. We'll give you our business card, so if you've got follow-up stuff, we'd love to help. We're trying to make sure to get everything. So this is an enterprise chat. Business apps are the fastest growing section of the App Store. You know, I think they kind of caught on. They're like, uh-oh, we're giving iPads to everybody. We need to create business solutions, etc. The next one's a... So by 2016, enterprise mobility solutions will be about a $40 billion annual business. So figuring out how to handle mobile is just a big thing right now. We're just at the infancy inside of enterprise. We're just figuring out mobile device management. We're just trying to roll out, you know, mobile device management. You know, we're just trying to figure out what apps to put on our iPads. Here's an interesting case study. We're rolling out iPads to financial planning agents. They're out in the field helping customers, you know, plan their financial history, look at financial data, what stocks should we be in, what bonds should we be in, et cetera. Keeping that extremely secure is very, very important. Hospitals getting 25% more efficient using mobile technology in some of our ROI case studies. Here's an example. We're rolling out iPads to doctors. They can pull up. One of the biggest things doctors have a problem with inside of a health institution is, you know, utilizing the technology. If it's from CERN or if it's from one of the big guys, it's very complex, hard to use, hard to interface with. The doctors don't necessarily use it. You walk into a paperless hospital, and guess what? They're using paper. They're scared to use the technology. So mobile is making it a lot easier. In this case study, doctors are getting the iPads, and when they walk into a specific patient's room that's triggered with an RFID badge or a low energy Bluetooth badge, that iPad will just pull up the correct medical record for that room. The doctor doesn't have to do anything, no sorting through medical records. The patient's information comes up, they interface with it, etc. It's one case study where we're making technology easier for doctors to use and giving a better patient experience.
You know, what do you think the biggest benefit to the medical industry is for you going digital and getting rid of the paper? Accuracy of prescription. Who said coding? Coding of. That's how they get a 9-month ROI just on coding, having the correct insurance coding.
All right. So airlines, it's a pretty cool space. I kind of mentioned that a little earlier, I believe. But pilots were forced to lug around. You know, you've seen them all in the airports rolling around their carts, their little buggies with like this thick of a briefcase. What's in there is the flight maps. They have to be ready for flight maps of any kind of area they're going to fly over. There's different flight codes. How many of you guys are pilots? All right, we got a pilot. You have an iPad when you fly?
I don't.
All right. Well, the ROI just on the fuel savings of not having that big briefcase is making it up for these airlines that are rolling out iPads. It's much more efficient. They get the flight maps updated. You know, you get a, hey, you update your flight map. You know, any city they're flying over, they have accurate flight data. They have scheduling data, crew data, where should I be next data. This is a pretty cool case study where airlines can get really good, efficient use of mobile technology. Chris, you speak about the parking. This is a Xerox Services controls major parking institutions around, you know, for about 50 major cities across the world. Talk a little bit about how mobile can make that a little bit better.
We're looking at tying it in so that way you'll know what parking space is available before you get down there. I mean, that also helps on, if you look at the pollution, helps on the traffic jams. Can help tie it in. we're also looking at the option of, instead of, you know, paying it via your phone for a bill. So we're looking at every way possible to minimize, you know, the stress of commuting, tying it into how you get there, where you end up, where you go. I look at the cars to go here, and I think that's a prime example of stuff other cities should use to help alleviate congestion, and along with everybody getting from point A to point B. We all got to get to point A to point B. Let's just take advantage of some of the technology we have out there and line it in.
Manufacturing is a big sector for mobile device. You know, so we talked about embedded mobile connectivity, so controlling manufacturing and programming manufacturing devices, getting data and analytics off your manufacturing line. It's going to be a big section of the custom services applications development in the next. How many of you guys are in manufacturing? All right. You guys using mobility yet to control your manufacturing floor? You soon will be. One of the biggest things we talked about so far is how do we integrate systems? So across the top, you see a bunch of different, you know, ERP systems, Oracle or Salesforce.com or IBM or, you know, whatever the ERP system you need to communicate with, or some SaaS solutions like analytics tools or ratings and reviews tools or e-commerce tools or customer CRM tools. You need to kind of integrate all that data. Right now, they don't talk to each other very well. Salesforce has got a marketplace for you to kind of tie things and plug and play together, but a developer has to make those for you. So when you're going to roll out an enterprise solution, when you have things behind the firewall and you have a lot of different ERP tools, you need to kind of come up with a system integration approach. You can tie it into a private cloud or a public cloud. You got to look at the mix. But then you create a kind of a relational data model kind of into the cloud, so you don't need to, when you hit use a mobile device, you're hitting that cloud through a relational kind of web service model, so you don't have to go behind the firewall each time you want a piece of data. So being secure in the cloud is one of the biggest things Xerox is working on right now, one of the biggest things every company is trying to do, government is doing, is rolling their infrastructures into private / public cloud, and building web services around that so that you can power mobility is a big step in getting to where you need to go. This almost every project we work on to power mobility involves cloud and system integration. Really quick on this, this is in that retail example, being able to tie the full circle of mobile from the very beginning to spend and getting an ROI that's measurable. So using this cloud model and system integrations model, you can start pushing back which customers have my biggest share of wallet, which customers are should we push the best messages to, tie loyalty in. Return on investment on top of your mobile investment is very possible. All right. So okay. we're being invaded.
So what we want to get across here, if you look at, this is everywhere, public sector, private sector, large businesses, small businesses, countries, it's everywhere. And if you look at, we created what I call attention. On one end of the triangle, you have mobility. That's a technology. It's everything that, all the devices that we think are cool, that are driving new opportunities, how we want to do it. On the other part of the triangle, we have people. Is it your employees? What do you want them to do? Is it your partner? Is it your customer? Is it just anybody on the street? Then the other end, you got your business processes. What do you need to do to your business processes to take advantage of mobility? What people do you want to have interact? The people being, could be the employees, could be a partner, could be a customer. And everywhere is security. So if you view this triangle, it's a tension triangle. You got three forces pulling on each other, and you got security that tries to hold everything together. And in the middle is, what is it you're trying to do? What we want to go through now are questions. So these are questions that we ask. These are questions that we want you to think about. It's not just playing games. It's not just mail. What enterprise app do you want to make available? Even if it's just a query, even if it's just sharing information with a partner, or if you take the Lowe's example, they're doing point of sale. So that means they get to see everything. What is it that you want them to do? And look, it's not just a single vertical. It's all verticals, all businesses, all governments. We're all dealing with the same thing at the same time, which is where I'm kind of going back. This is a unique point in history. Neither sector is ahead of the other one. We're all trying to figure it out at the same time.
Yep, so we've got the verticals up here, just as a quick example. And inside of each company, you have, we talked about sales reps or field service reps, but whoever it is inside of your company, how do you, you know, those are your customers. So in that tension triangle, you know, those are the customers we're trying to figure out, how do we deal with them, how do we give them mobile tools that are, make it easy for them to get a good ROI for the business.
And we debated long on this tension triangle, how to represent this, because we wanted to give you a picture that you could take back if you're leading the discussion or the drive of how do we do it. Just go and draw a triangle. One end you put the people, the other end the technology, the other end the process, and the middle the security, and say, okay, what is it we're trying to do? And those are all the points that you have to address.
Now we're going to go through a couple of the mobile sections of the triangle, technology. We've talked about, so backend infrastructure is huge. You won't be able to do any mobile project, get access to any data, unless you do some sort of an infrastructure project with cloud and web services and system integrations. That's the number one point. Number two is the security. So device security, that means, you know, a good keyword is hardened. So are your iPads hardened? Are your iPhones hardened? Your mobile device management tool can take care of a lot of that. The data, when it's on the device, is it hardened? And then there's in-flight. So security while, you know, you're transmitting back through web service with the cloud, back behind the firewall from the cloud to the firewall. So security is at the center of everything.
If you want to think about it, go back to the doctor. He's got his iPad, he's walking in to see you. You want him to have access to all your information at that point in time when he's with you. But when he walks out the room, you want it to disappear. I mean, so have analogies and have scenarios that you can explain what you're talking about.
We've got a lot of platforms. iPhones, iPads, Androids, Microsofts, RIMs, you know. Who knows how long RIM, or if Microsoft will buy them, or what's going to go on with Symbian. I was just asking Chris, how many people have seen the new Lenovo tablet, for example? Lenovo tablet. How about the Sony tablet? Would you guys run out and buy the Sony or the Lenovo tablet? Man, this is tough. Well, how about the Samsung tablets? American, you know, American Airlines has picked Samsung. You know, so it's an interesting dynamic. Each company makes different decisions. So it's thinking about which platforms you're going to be supporting. If you're rolling it out for a specific purpose, like, hey, pilots, let's give them all iPads. All our iPad for pilots, all our apps are going to be iPad. You know, where our iPads bringing in Samsungs and Androids? Are we letting them? You know, but we're in a BYOD, bring your own device kind of world right now. So inside of each business unit, you might find you can control certain aspects of them, but then you got to kind of look at the holistic, you know, approach from the back. This is a good discussion. This is always fun. So native, building native applications, building web applications, or some sort of a hybrid between the two, or should we use some sort of a unified code base model like Titanium or PhoneGap or Sentia or whatever the next flavor is? This is all bleeding edge stuff. HTML5 is just now getting to the point where it's, you know, really don't need a native app. You know, you can save it to your home screen, and it's almost like you got a native app on your phone working offline. How do you, you know, I see you shaking your head, so why don't we do a let's do a share of hands of who, you know, who believes in native? All right. Who believes in web? All right, it's like, this is, I think we're getting more web. I think I had more web hands. It's getting more and more web. How about hybrid? How about whatever makes sense for the business? All right. Yeah, so the lines are becoming blurred. That's the point. Native is awesome. Native is a lot of times best for security. You can control it better. HTML5 is getting very close. How many of you guys heard of Accelerator or Titanium? PhoneGap, Sentia, all tools that you can write in unified kind of JavaScript-esque web languages to compile into native technologies. The point is that's one of the technology kind of tension points. You need to figure out, you know, for this specific business case, what makes most sense for my business is going to drive the most ROI. If you're developing an app that needs to work across BYOD, For example, I need a specific business case software application to work across iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and Windows, God forbid. Native is very expensive to build because you got to build it for each platform, you got to support it, then ongoing requests coming down from your employees, your business, you know, so you keep supporting. So if a team support everything, so maybe HTML5 is the way to go for that purpose. But the iPad example, the pilots, hey, do it native. We only have to support one group of customers, one platform, we can go native. But there's all these kind of business reasons. You got to think through these things.
Offline, online. It can be pretty straightforward when you're online, what's going to happen to the data, the interaction. The question becomes, what happens when the data, when they're offline? Or do you want to allow them to walk around with sensitive data? Well, it may not be sensitive, but it's just data you don't want to go out. Going back to the doctor example, when he leaves the room, do you want all of your medical history on his tablet going into another patient?
This is one of the biggest things we battle with every day, right? So security, platform issues, but then when you walk into a hospital, there's not a lot of 3G or 4G connectivity inside of a hospital. You know, sometimes they're shielded. They don't even want you to get access via your cell phone. But now it's like these mobile tools are coming into the hospitals and they're like, well, we kind of need the online functionality. What do we do when we're offline? We can't get access to that patient record. And guess what? Wi-Fi inside of a hospital is not good at all. You know, IT inside of a hospital is challenging. So how do we work with online and offline? What happens when you're offline? What happens when you come back online? What happens to the data once it's transmitted, once you come back online? All things like that are very important to consider. That one thing alone can double the price of your project. If all you care about is online, awesome. But you better consider offline. So I think we did pretty well on the time to get to questions. I had somebody ask me today, how big does my organization have to be to consider mobile device management or some sort of a mobile strategy around security? And what did we chat about that the answer to that was?
It's the value of the data or the interaction that you're wanting. If it's 10 customers, 10 employees, small business versus 100 versus a million versus your whole government. It's the value that you place on that interaction and the data that you're going to be sharing. That's your driver. That's what determines your ROI. What's the risk of losing that data? What's the risk if somebody gets into my environment and takes that data? That's a driver point, not the size of the business, the size of the interaction, the value of that interaction.
So we work with companies that are 10 employees all the way up to, you know, the Whirlpools and the GEs and the Walmarts, you know, a wide range. All of them are building mobile applications. All of them are fighting this problem. The bigger you are, the more fights you have internally. How do we get to the data? How do we make it secure? Even legal inside of some of your companies. Probably you're like, cloud? I talked to a company the other day. It's like, we're a financial services company. We can't mention the word cloud. And, you know, inside of our building, well, that makes it tough to build a really solid mobile program because you have to go behind the firewall. And then there's all kinds of security with letting, like, let's say 15,000 employees connect behind your firewall anytime they want to via a mobile device. I think it's a lot safer to go into the cloud. The government's doing it. The banks are doing it. So I'd say there's all kinds of really cool problems you deal with when building mobile for enterprise. Lots of different things to think about. We've gone through everything from kind of cool ideas and case studies to what we feel, you know, mobile devices, managing the devices, what apps to put on the devices, how to support that, making sure you're building custom applications to drive ROI, to more case studies and ideas of what other people are doing out in the market, what we've been a part of, to the security tension, kind of when you're working on a project like Chris said, there's a lot of triangles you can draw. There's all kinds of fun stuff. But this is, I think, a good way to think about it. You got your customers to support. What do you want to support them with? What business processes? What are you trying to put in their hands? And then what technology do you think makes sense in this particular business case you're trying to achieve? So open it for questions.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love the cloud question. So the two questions for our internet audience were, what is the definition of cloud we're working with? And the second was, what's the fallback if online or the mobile technology is having issues, if it's pretty mission critical, like if an employee needs to perform a task and they can't do it because of the Wi-Fi being flaky or whatever, what's the fallback? I'll take a stab and then you can go. What definition of cloud are we working on? I love the definition of cloud because it's on every marketing material you see. There's a fluffy picture of a cloud, and it's like, what is that? So I've kind of mentioned private cloud, public cloud. So private cloud, that's, creating your own cloud that's more locked down for your enterprise. Server banks that, a Xerox or a, IBM or a whoever X name, you create your own with your IT department. It's creating your own cloud infrastructure for scaling up and down with your applications, but you can still kind of keep it more secure. It's not mixed with other public data. The public cloud is the Amazons, it's the Azures, it's the Rackspaces, it's all the public. So when I'm saying cloud, I'm saying it's just a way to place your data out of your corporate firewall into a more secure environment with private cloud, or a little less secure environment with public cloud. You can still encrypt it. You still have all the backup mechanisms. You can put some hybrids between private and public for more sensitive data versus less sensitive data. And it just makes it a lot easier to get to and a lot easier to scale. So with a mobile rollout, you're going to start small. You don't need to put a dedicated 20 servers on it. Where we start out with some of our customers where they've got three servers supporting the mobile data, and then maybe around specific holidays or specific events or specific whatever, like Twitter blows up around South by Southwest. A lot of big social companies do. So they scale up with the public cloud. So we might start with three servers, but then tomorrow we might be at 50 servers. And with the cloud, you can do that. In the private cloud, you can do that a little less, unless you have a huge server bank inside your cloud. I'm just saying it's a place to put your data in a scalable server farm kind of, mentality with a really great, way to access that through a web service, whether it's a REST API or a SOAP API. We're doing a lot more REST than SOAP. What do you think, definition of cloud?
Basically computing services that you don't own the computer, you're buying for time on them. You're paying for it as a service. If you guys read the front of the American Statesman yesterday, we're putting in a dedicated, secure community cloud for the state of Texas. We're starting that. And that's going to be for 28 agencies. And so that's a higher bar than a private cloud, so more secure. If you look at, when you're talking about you have a spot where there's no wireless connectivity, that's when you look at that tension we deal with online, offline. How do you deal if you suddenly go offline? What do you have cached? How do you deal with it? Then when you get back online, it resyncs with whatever enterprise app it was working with, and it just continues from there. But you also want to look at your application and factor in how do you deal with offline status? Because there are a lot of trade-offs there. It's like, are they offline because they're wanting to take it offline and take that data somewhere? Or is it truly just to deal with network glitches, which do happen in mobile, and you got to factor that in. You're going to have to cache a certain amount to deal with network hiccups. Wireless isn't everywhere. It's getting better, but it's not everywhere. Did that answer your question?
So the right.
With an iPad, with technological devices, either it works or it doesn't. There's kind of no fuzzy in between. So for pilots,
or another iPad as a backup.
For a second, yeah.
It's a lot lighter. Yeah.
Star Trek said all the systems were triple backup.
Yeah, I think it's looking at the business case. It's trying to figure out what you need to work all the time. And let's start with the low-hanging fruit with mobile, right? There's a lot of ROI we can drive without interrupting our business. You know, there's a lot of value we can add, and then get to the more complicated problems once you figure it out. One of the biggest things is having an infrastructure, a base. You lay the foundation of a mobile framework, and then you can build on it. So if you start building these frameworks, and then you're like, hey, you know, we feel really solid with this. We've been online. We have 99% uptime. We have this, that. And then it's like, okay, let's roll. I mean, if we're rolling point of sale into mobile, I mean, that's pretty mission critical. I was in a retail store over the holiday where it wasn't mobile, it was just desktop, and their point of sale was down. You can't have a point of sale down during Christmas, you know, and you can't have a mobile down for point of sale. The good thing with mobile, it's hot swappable. You know, you put it down, pick up another one if that device, you know, gives you issues. If it's the whole network, that's what IT's for. We can't let that happen. The network has to support mobile. That's where that infrastructure comes in.
Mobile done right is more secure because the data is not on the device. I mean, if you take... How big is your hard drive on your laptop there?
500.
What happens if that's full of company sensitive data and you lose it? Versus thinking about it differently, keeping it at a location that is secure on your company site in the cloud, you can lose the device, get a new device, reconnect back in, versus it's hard to recover from losing your hard drive. So it's a mentality to start thinking about it of we have to change our behaviors to trust that the network's going to work, the device is going to connect, the data, that your data is either in your personal cloud space, your work cloud space, that you can get to it when you know it and you don't have to worry about somebody hacking it. That's the cultural thing we're going through, and that's the biggest benefit of mobility in the enterprise, is not having to put monster hard drives on our devices. It's like, no, it's there, I can do it. So I can go from my tablet to my smartphone, to Eric's smartphone, to something else, and still get to it, and it would still function. So you can get some resiliency because the data is back in the data center somewhere that you can get to. And the key is making sure to authenticate who's using it, authorize it, tie it to the device, make sure it gets in, do the transaction, and you get back out. So instead of transactions that never break down, think of your ATM transaction. Stand it up, do it, get down. That's stateful. So start thinking about it in states. What do you want to do? Then you can have different priorities. It's kind of a different way to think about it, but when you start breaking it down into manageable bites, it makes sense. And you start doing pilots. Start with the data that doesn't have to be super secure. Maybe it's querying. You start there and you figure out your MDM, you figure out what devices you want to do, then you just start adding to it from there.
We had a question right down front.
Yeah, I have a question about the strategy of the companies around. Told us about the revolution. What is the strategy of big IT companies? Is it like a cultural strategy, or, well, big companies would like to get to this revolution and make automation not only for the internal users, but also provide applications for customers and, well, become... If we look at stock prices of big companies, they are moving down or up very fast in the last 2 years. And it's always the reason to probably take part in this battle. For example, for Xerox, what's your strategy?
The end to our strategy, you know, what is the strategy for a large company in embracing mobility? One, it scares them to death, because they look at the value of their data and they look at their brand. What happens if I open up to mobility and next thing I know, all my client data is hijacked and I'm on the front page of Wall Street and I'm up on Congress and I'm explaining things? I mean, that scares them to death. But they also understand, they see the value and the efficiencies of bringing your own device. You know, instead of buying a laptop and it having half a terabyte to a terabyte of company data that could be lost, to a keyboard case with an iPad or equivalent tablet and giving you all the access to get into it. There's a shift coming on, which is why I say we're all in it at the same time. Large businesses are not ahead of small businesses, and they're not ahead of the government, and they're not ahead of you know, the Department of Defense. We're all, you know, we had the picture, we're all being invaded. We're all addressing this at the same time. I was fortunate enough to be at a Department of Defense conference about a year ago discussing security and how do we address it. Even they're asking the questions, going, how do I address the security? How do I approach this? And so what you're starting to see, if you really look at the landscape, it's a different model. Instead of putting up a wall, start to have the software, start to have the applications act like humans do. If you meet a stranger on the street, how would you act versus if they came to your door at your house versus if you found them in your house versus then take and say, okay, what if you met a friend on the street versus they came to your door? Of starting to have software act like humans, because those are the interactions that we're going to start asking mobile devices and applications to replicate. So there is really this huge shift coming on, large, medium, and small. I mean, it'd be nice if you have to say, we're Xerox, we have all the answers. No, we have as many questions or more, but we do know this is a way we need to go. So we're just saying, let's have these questions, let's have these criteria, how do we evaluate it, then start moving forward. I'll come to you after you.
Two questions. So you're sort of focusing on mobile, but what if, I mean, we use PCs at work and have iPads, and so like, so that transition, you know, the idea that, you know, I've really been going for is just something that's totally integrated with any technology that anyone inside the office touches. And then the second question is just sort of, in the first phase of how you go about sort of just bringing up the concept, and is it kind of, you know, interviewing people coming up with pain points and creating the dream solution and then seeing what steps it takes to get there?
It's kind of both.
Yeah.
I mean, if you leave it wide open, they will throw everything at you. So you kind of need to guide. What are the limits of technology? I mean, there are limits of technology, what you can and cannot do. Like, if you have a dead cell area, you can't overcome it no matter how much you want. It's beyond your control. But if you take a look at what we're doing now for mobility, is no different from when cell phones showed up. If you have to step back and think about it, the telephone company knew where every phone was because it was tied to a wire. So they had to put a lot of systems in place to know who you were so you could make a phone call. The same type of thing is going on in enterprises right now. You're clipping the wire of saying, I know where that point of sale machine is at. I know where that PC is at. To now, you're coming in and asking for information from a phone, from an iPad, from some sort of laptop. The wire has been cut, but the query is still coming in. The transaction is still wanting to happen. But there's not that physical connection to where they can say, oh, I know you're in the office over here. Yes, you have permission. You came through the building. So all those things that happened when you came through the building, you badged, you were logged in, now is coming from outside and into their safe zone. So those are the things you have. Those are really the first things you have to look at. It's a security. How do we want to allow those interactions to come in? What types of interactions do we want to have in? Is it just for employees? Is it for customers? Is it for partners? That's where you start. Because that's where you'll get in trouble if you don't think about it first. You know, go back to the analogy. You meet a stranger on the street versus meet a stranger at work, meet a stranger at home. How would you act? Think of those when you're going, same type of thing. I have a stranger show up at my client app. What do I do? Versus I find them in my app snooping around. What do we do? That's how you can kind of equate it, and it kind of gives you a roadmap of how to look at it. Do you want to add?
I mean, the only thing, other thing he said was, the desktop as well as mobile. So mobile is an extension. It's also a replacement. It depends on the business case. So, you know, desktop tools and apps, you want to get those same apps and access to those apps and that data onto mobile. You want to be able to access them from all places. Whatever screen it is, pretty soon it'll be television, it'll be your car radio, it'll be your mobile device, it'll be your desktop screen, you know. So I think building an infrastructure that supports all screens connecting to your apps and your data is very important. We're just focusing on mobility in this presentation.
I have one more question, and I think they're shutting us down. But we can stick around after if you need to. We go through and evaluate new technologies, new companies, where we think there are opportunities, where there are fit. Does it have a hole? Does it address a hole that we have, something we're not doing? Is there demand in a vertical that we're seeing that it helps evaluate? And then we'll look at it from a security perspective, a technology perspective, an overall business sense. And we kind of do our own internal business case and say, yes, yes or no.
All right. Well, guys, I really appreciate you guys being here. And any questions at all, just come up, give you a business card, catch up.